Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to gather in your presence and in your name. I thank you, Lord, that you're here in our midst. I pray, Father, that you would speak to our hearts tonight and use our lives for your honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight I want to talk to you about how to serve the Lord. I guess you could subtitle this, The Right Way to Serve the Lord. But what does it really mean to serve the Lord? Usually when people say serve the Lord, they're just kind of using it in the sense of being a Christian and going to church some, and saying, well, they're serving the Lord. But really, biblically, to serve the Lord is to submit your life, to live for Him. It's to live to please Him. It is to make Him your Lord and Master. It is to put your life under His control. To serve the Lord is to be His. It's a choice that you make to serve the Lord, to make yourself His servant. He won't force anybody to serve Him. You got to choose to serve the Lord. 1 Peter 2:16 tells us that we are the bondservants of God. We have chosen to be His servants. We need to remember we owe the Lord a debt that we could never pay, and we should live every day as though we owe Him our lives. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. To truly serve the Lord is much more than just a casual Christianity. It is more than mere religion. I'm telling you, if we're going to truly serve the Lord, you have to deliberately make a choice that I'm going to serve the Lord. Now, sometimes we do a disservice to people when we try to ease them into the kingdom. You know, we try to kind of soften it and water it down and, you know, just kind of slip them in there, you know. We'll tell them about, you know, the hard stuff later. We're just gonna, let's make it easy. Did you know that Jesus never did that? Never. Never ever did Jesus try to slip somebody in the back door, kind of like, well, you know. No. With Jesus, it was always, follow me. And they left all and they followed Him. Jesus said, you got to count the cost. He never told anybody, well, hey, we're going to make this easy for you. But I think in our generation especially, there's so much of that where we just try to sell Jesus to people, try to talk people into the kingdom. And listen, I'm not saying we should preach the gospel to them. Yes, we should. But I'm just saying we can't water it down and give them this wimpy version of Christianity. No, we need to tell them, to be a Christian, it's to serve the Lord. It's not just to go to church some and claim Jesus as your Savior, but it's to make Him the Lord of your life and to truly serve Him, to make yourself His servant. Jesus called the disciples, and they had to make a decision. And so do we. And if you've made that choice, just always remember, it's your choice. It was your choice to serve the Lord. It's not something that you just kind of stumbled into. No, you got to make up your mind. I'm going to serve the Lord. Familiar passage in Joshua 24, we're going to read 14 and 15. Joshua says, now therefore fear the Lord, serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. And Joshua tells them, serve the Lord. But then he tells them, hey, if you don't think that's a good thing, well, you go ahead and choose who you're going to serve. Choose. He says, choose. I know for me personally, when I was a young man, there came a time in my life where I had to make a decision. I had to make up my mind I was really going to serve the Lord. It was time to let go of the past. It was time to sell out and turn my life over to God. And we all have to come to that place where we make a real choice to serve the Lord. Joshua says, whether the gods which your forefathers or your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He told them to choose, but he made his choice very clear. He said, no matter what anybody else does, that's what he was saying. When he says, as for me and my house, he says, doesn't matter what y'all do, this is what we're doing. And you know what? Sometimes you got to have that attitude if you're really going to serve the Lord. Because I'm telling you, sometimes there will be Christians around you that are backsliding, that are lukewarm, that aren't really serving God, that are making compromises in your life. And you got to have that attitude that, you know what? As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. No matter what anybody else does, our walk with the Lord and my serving the Lord is not dependent on somebody else. We're going to serve the Lord. We've made up our mind. We need to be very deliberate about our choice to serve the Lord. It's too easy to allow ourselves to let other things begin to creep in and hold a priority in our heart when the Lord is the only one that deserves that place. But you know, when Joshua said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord, you know, he didn't just say, as for me, I'm going to serve the Lord. No, he is a great example of a man who led his family. He said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Now, the culture that we live in says that you have no right to do that. In fact, it's even part of the church culture of the day that you as a man don't have a right to say, as for me and my house, well, I'm just going to follow the pattern of Scripture and tell you that you do, as a man, have the right to say, Lord. And it's right for you to do that. It's biblical for you to do that. I know I've heard all the stories about how they made me go to church when I was a kid, and so I hate church. Let me tell you something. People might hate church. They don't hate Jesus. A lot of times they hate religion. And a lot of the hypocrisy that was involved in it. And I'm just telling you, though, it's a good thing when you tell your kids, we're going to church. Now, here's how weird things are nowadays. I am so glad we have a strong children and youth ministry, because we got kids and young people that tell their parents, hey, we're going to church. And a lot of parents, they go to church because the kids want to. But I'm telling you, some parents need to make up their mind to really serve God and say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. The world says, oh, no, you can't push your religion on those kids. You got to let them find their own way. While the world is constantly telling its way, but the Bible says that you're to teach it to your children. You got to choose. Make a real decision that you're going to serve the Lord. Matthew 6:24, Jesus said, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he'll be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Can't serve God and stuff. Can't serve God and pleasure. Can't serve God and anything else. There will come a time when you will choose one over the other. It has to be. You have to choose. And so the best way for us to handle that choice is to decide once and for all that I serve the Lord and nothing else will ever control my life. See, that's really what it comes down to. What's going to make your other choices for you? What's going to control your life? It's going to be something. Make it the Lord. Make up your mind. You're not going to try to serve two. You know which one you serve. And you've made that choice. You see, there's going to be difficult choices in life that come our way. And we have to make a decision that we're going to serve him no matter what comes. Back to Joshua 24:14, he said, serve him in sincerity and in truth. It has to be real. It can't just be lip service. It has to be faithful service. The NIV puts it this way, now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. To truly serve the Lord, it can't be a part-time thing. Well, that's not real. That's not truly serving. Not just when it's convenient or when it's comfortable, when it's easy for our flesh. We can't go by our feelings. We stick with our commitment. We make a choice to serve the Lord, and we do that faithfully. Jesus said, if anybody would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Sometimes you got to tell yourself no. And you got to take up that cross daily and follow Jesus. It's a choice that you made. Too many today are in and out of church, not really involved in the work of the Lord, not really serving God. Serve the Lord faithfully. It means more than even just showing up for church. It means that we have made ourselves his servants. To serve him in sincerity and truth means to live for him every day. Every day. Faithfully. I wonder if what it would look like and feel like and be like if maybe even each and every morning we just said to the Lord, how may I serve you today? What would you have me do today? That every day we make it that real. You know, there's some that only serve God when trouble comes. They find themselves in trouble and they turn to God. Well, listen, when you're in trouble, it's a good thing to turn to God. Don't misunderstand me. But I'm saying some people, that's the only time they serve the Lord is when they're in trouble. And when things kind of smooth out, they go right back to their old ways, serving other things. And it's funny, but then there are some people that only serve the Lord while things are good. Then they're serving the Lord, but then when a battle comes, they say, well, that ain't working, and so they go on and try something else. No, we make a decision, a choice to serve the Lord faithfully all the days of our life. Deuteronomy 6, 19 and 20, it tells us this, Daniel 6, where's my glasses? Anyway, Daniel 6, 19 and 20, the king arose very early in the morning and he went in haste to the den of the lions, and when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke, saying to Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? Did you notice what it said, or what he said to Daniel? Has your God, whom you serve continually? Daniel was known for this. Even his enemies knew this. That's why they devised a plan to get a law passed that if anybody prayed to some, that they would be thrown in the lion's den. They knew that Daniel would keep right on serving God the same way he always had. He served God continually. Not once in a while, not when he was in the mood. No, this was lifestyle for him, that he always served the Lord. It's what he was known for. And because he served the Lord protected him. I'm telling you, there is a great key to God's protection and provision, is that you serve him faithfully. There are blessings that come on those who serve God faithfully that are not on those who don't serve faithfully. That's what saved Daniel in the lion's den. Because God saved him because he served him continually. In the Old Testament, the Hebrew word, the root word for serve in the Old Testament is work, four-letter word. To serve the Lord is to work for him. If we truly serve him, then we are his servants and we are working. Jesus tells a story, it's the parable of the talents, where the Lord says that those servants that take what they are given and they use it and they double it, he says they are good and faithful servants because they took what was entrusted to them and they used it, they multiplied it. But then the third servant didn't do anything with what was given to him. He hid it in the ground. We're talking about how you serve the Lord, right? The ones that used what they had were good and faithful servants. The one that hid it in the ground and did nothing with it, he said that his Lord will tell him, "You wicked, lazy servant." I'm just telling you that Jesus illustrates for his people very clearly that we're supposed to be faithful, and that means that we do what we're supposed to do, that we work for the Lord, that we use what he has entrusted to us with to the best of our ability. That's how you serve the Lord. You serve the Lord with passion. Romans 12:11 says, "Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord." Fervent in spirit. That means that you do your very best. You work hard at it. Whatever we do for God, we do our very best. I suppose some people probably tip the same no matter what kind of service they get at a restaurant, but I'm not that way. I always tip and always try to be gracious, treat people better than they deserve. But when I have a waiter or waitress that really works hard, I take such joy in giving them extra. I remember some years ago, there was a Mexican food restaurant that we like to go to almost every week. And you know, sometimes you go in, you sit down, and it's a while before anybody shows up, and then some chips and salsa, and you know, and I'm just telling you, when you drink salsa like I do, you need your water glass refilled pretty often, and man, it can be tough when that waitress disappears and they don't come back for a long time. But we found this one waitress that we really liked. In fact, when we would go to this restaurant, we would ask for this waitress. And as soon as we were seated, I'd say within a minute, she would come to our table with our drinks already, water, and chips and salsa. She would take our order. And during our, we didn't ever have to ask for anything. But if we did ask for something, she did this amazing thing. She would walk to the back and get it and come back. You're laughing because that is a strange phenomena. I mean, I've been in restaurants before when we ask a waiter for something and I thought they must have been abducted by aliens. I mean, I was like, what happened? But here's my point. I'm just telling you, there are a lot of people just kind of doing a so-so job when it comes to the work of the Lord, as little as they can get by with. No, the Bible says that we are to work with a fervent spirit, to be diligent, giving God our very best. You know, the Bible tells us that whatever we do it heartily as unto the Lord. So you Christians should be the hardest workers there are, because we're working for Jesus, not just for a buck. But especially when it comes to the kingdom, we need to know that every minute, every moment that we work for the Lord is making a difference in eternity. And so fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. And how much more does the Lord bless us when we have that attitude? You give it all you've got. Don't ever halfway do something for God. And don't give your job and your hobby your best and give God what's left over. You give God your best. Colossians 3, 22 through 24, bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. Now, he's actually talking to servants here who had masters, and he's telling them that you obey your masters according to the flesh, in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. And there it is, that everything we do our best. But we always, especially, give God our best. I don't know why there's so many people in the body of Christ that don't want to work when it makes a difference in eternity. Ephesians 4:16 says that the body is built up as each part does its work. It's not really a new problem. Where Jesus told the disciples, the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Pray the Lord of the harvest will send laborers into his field. You see, even Jesus saw that problem. That the real issue, it's not that there aren't people ready to be saved, people that are ready to come to the Lord. It's that there's just not enough workers. The mentality of this generation is to do as little as they have to in order to keep their job. And that's just not right for a Christian. Did you know laziness is a sin? Come on, I'm preaching to a Wednesday night crowd. Y'all know the Bible, right? I mean, I know I'm talking to people that know what it is to serve the Lord, but I just want to encourage you. I want to challenge you tonight to serve the Lord with the whole heart, God, your best. Don't let that attitude of the world creep in on you where you just do as little as you have to kind of get by, so-so, but you always give God your best. I remember many years ago when I youth pastored at Grace, we had a young man that came down to the church, and he was going to do a little work to earn some money for youth camp, and so we sent him outside with a hoe and told him to hoe the flower bed and get the weeds out of the flower bed. And so in a little while, I went out to check on him. And this kid, you know, he's a big, strong kid, played football. He had that hoe with one hand, and he would pick it up and drop it and drag it. And then pick it up and drop it and drag it. It was painful to watch. It was like watching death. I'm just telling you, just the agony. I mean, to be that miserable working. Oh, my goodness. Get after it and get it done. And I'm just telling you, we're not supposed to be that way. We're supposed to be fervent in spirit. Hard workers. And when it comes to the things of God, we just ought to be excited about working for the Lord. Forget this. It is a lying spirit that tells people that it's a drudgery to serve the Lord. No, it's a joy to serve the Lord. Now, on the other end of that spectrum, back then, the pastor was Brother Harold Nichols. And Brother Harold Nichols was one of the hardest workers you would ever meet in your life. If there was something that needed to be done, he would be doing it while everybody else is sitting around trying to figure out whose job it is. One time before I came back to the church as pastor, I came back and preached a Sunday morning, and he and I were in the church office, and I don't remember, it seemed like, I guess we came out, and there was some kind of commotion, and we said, what's going on? And a couple of men, these are grown men in their 40s, you know, they said, oh, a commode in the women's bathroom has overflowed, and so we got to go find so-and-so so that he can take care of it. Well, Brother Nichols grabbed a mop, and here we go. I stood there and watched him for a minute, and then I said, Pastor Nichols, I know how to operate that thing. Give it to me. But here, I'm telling you, grown men had to run down the hall. We got to find so-and-so to operate a mop. What is wrong with people? Now, I'm just saying, but he was such a hard-working man. Whatever needed to be done, he did it. And always fervent in spirit. I mean, just always going 100 miles an hour. Those of you that knew him, you know this. Even in his 80s, he was still the same way, always going as fast as he could go, serving the Lord and happy to do it. We need to stir ourselves up to have a fervent spirit. Too much at stake to do any less. Psalm 100 in verse 2 tells us how to serve the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness. It's our choice to serve Him. Be happy to serve the Lord. As we serve Him, we need to always keep a good attitude. Don't let struggles or people steal your joy as you're serving the Lord. Remember, happy are the people whose God is the Lord. Don't serve the Lord with a long face. Grumpy Christians have kept more people out of heaven than drugs and alcohol. I'm not kidding. I think grumpy Christians keep more people out of heaven than drugs and alcohol. Just announcing to the world that you don't want what I got. It'll make you miserable. I mean, at least drug addicts and alcoholics have fun for a little while before the wheels come off. You know what I'm saying? At least they enjoy life for a little while. Act like they're just miserable all the time. It's a joy to serve the Lord. I'm not going to say that there's not battles and struggles and hardships. There are. But I know this, the Bible, transgressor is hard. It's so much better to do life with the Lord than without the Lord. It's a joy to serve the Lord. I don't know. It seems weird that the children of Israel, after being in slavery for 400 years, they were finally free. They, just in a matter of weeks, began to cry out to Moses that they wanted to go back to Egypt. It's so weird. They begin to complain and grumble about everything. Don't let things steal your joy. You keep your eyes on the Lord. You keep serving the Lord with joy. It is not a drudgery. It is a joy. Psalm 122 in verse 1 says, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. How is it that the enemy has convinced so many people that it's a burden to go to the house of the Lord to worship? I don't know. Like serving the Lord just to even go to church is such a hard thing. Maybe I can pull it off once a month. I don't get it. I really don't. I like it. And it don't matter if I'm the pastor or not. I'm telling you, I like it. When we were in between churches, I went Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I just like it. I like worshiping the Lord. I like hearing His word. And even more, I like being involved in what God is doing. And it's not ever a drudgery. It's a joy. See, that's a lying spirit. Oh, foul, stinking, religious spirit that tells people, oh, you know, you have to go to church. And, oh, it's prayer meeting. Oh, I don't think I want to go to that. Come on. It's a joy to serve the Lord. By the way, Brother Nichols was a great example of that, too. Always had the joy of the Lord. I know that he went through some hard times, but I'll tell you what, here was one of his strengths. He was always singing. You might think, oh, well, that's nice. Listen, it's scriptural. Ephesians 5:19 and 20 says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always to God for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, you ought to have a song on your heart all the time. It'll help keep you from getting all back to Egypt. You just decide, I'm going to be happy. I'm going to sing a song. And listen, if other people start complaining because you can't sing, well, hum, sing it to yourself under your breath, whatever you got to do, but keep a song going in your heart, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Stay full of the Spirit that way. I don't even know some of those songs that Brother Nichols used to sing. No, is 1,000 times I heard him coming down the hall of the church saying, this plane I'm riding. Mm-hmm. I don't know the rest of it. Life's sinking, sun is sinking low. A few more days and I must go. He just was always happy though. Always singing, working for the Lord, doing stuff that other people didn't want. And singing while he did it. That's the way it's supposed to be. Because we're doing it for Jesus. We're serving him, the one who paid it all for us. We truly serve the Lord. It is his pleasure to bless us. Psalm 35 and 27 says, and let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. What a great thing to be a servant of the Lord. He blesses us. In Malachi chapter 3, you know, the Lord rebukes his people for not tithing. But the reason they didn't tithe showed in their attitude and their words. After the Lord rebukes them for not tithing, he says this in verse 13 and 14. He says, your words have been harsh against me, says the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken against you? And he said, you have said it is useless to serve God. They said it doesn't matter if you serve God. It doesn't make any difference. Well, I'm no better off than those heathens over there live down my street, those troublemakers. I'm no better off than those people that don't go to church. I'm no better off. They said it's useless to serve the Lord. How wrong. You see, sometimes we look around us and we think, and we're going through a hard time and we think, well, what good is it doing me to serve the Lord? It ain't over yet. And God always makes it right. And he is always more than fair. He is gracious. And he takes pleasure in blessing his servants. You just got to trust the Lord. And don't ever let that attitude get on you that it's useless to serve the Lord. It's such a lie. And what a terrible accusation to make against a loving God who wants to bless us, to say it's useless to serve him. No, it is always a blessing to serve the Lord. One last passage. How do you serve him? You serve him with all your heart and soul. Deuteronomy 10 and 12 says, and now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways and to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. All your heart. You know, it brings us back to that place we started. You got to make a choice. It has to be a decision that you make from your heart, that you're going to serve him with all your heart. Nothing held back from him. You lay it all at his feet. And tonight, if the Holy Spirit puts a light on something in your heart that needs to be surrendered to God, I just encourage you to do that. Make up your mind. You're going to serve the Lord, truly serve him.